being born until I 18, I was with my family. You know, mom and dad never stayed away a single night from them, then ran off to avoid an arranged marriage to join the army. Not, you could go to these schools and he's gonna help you pick. And my dad's like, that's great, but you're gonna go to Pakistan and, you know, your husband's gonna decide.
Love Gangster with Adrian Boysel.
Welcome back to another episode of The Love Gangster. I'm Adrian Boysel, and today I have a very special episode with a friend and a client of mine who's going to share her story. Now, she's got a very powerful story. I'm going to let her introduce herself, but what I can tell you quickly is that she's an Army veteran, she's an entrepreneur, business owner, and an influencer. She creates a lot of content on social media, from TikTok to Instagram, and her content's fire. And she did Miss Pakistan. She ran for Miss Pakistan, so she's a finalist for that as well. So we have an amazing interview. She's a fellow love gangster who's doing a lot of great things in the world, from her family to her clients. I just want you guys to meet her and hear her story. So with that all being said, let's go ahead and jump into the episode. Miriam, it's good to see you.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing amazing. Glad you're here.
Always nice to see you.
Yes. We happen to do an amazing video that we're going to release soon. Yeah. With my daughter, which was a lot of fun.
Oh my God, it's adorable. I'm so excited.
Thank you for doing that.
Of course.
She had a blast.
Yeah, it was so much fun.
For those that don't know, she created a vision board, and maybe you can tell a little bit of that story, but your vision board thing was really, really neat.
Yeah, I honestly, it was kind of a last minute thing. I was just really restless this time. It wasn't even in the beginning of the year, actually. It was around like March, April, and I just felt like out of it. And I was like, I'm bored, let me figure out something to do. And at the time, for some reason, the vision board came up, and I went to Michael's, bought a bunch of crafts. I bought moss, it was actual real moss, but it was like craft moss.
Oh, wow.
Moss, and it got everywhere. But I ended up buying a bunch of crafts. I came home and I did this vision board, and I just slapped any and everything on there. I was like, I'm gonna make this happen. If I'm gonna make a vision board, let's make a vision board.
That's right.
So, I slapped it on, and literally, the first 60 days, one of my pictures came true where I was searching for a home, and I bought the home. Wow. No job in California.
Yeah.
6.6 APR. Like, the interest rate was insane. I had an amazing loan officer. I had an amazing realtor. So many things came true. Like I was telling you guys in the video, it was like 80% of it came true.
Wow. Now, I've never created a vision board myself. I obviously got to watch you and my daughter create one together.
Yeah.
And hopefully some of those things come true in the next year. But the fact that 80%, that's a huge amount. And a home, that's a big deal. That's like one of my dreams as well.
That was the biggest thing that I was like, there's no way.
Yeah, there's,
there's
no way.
Like, yep. But all right, I'm just going to put it on there. And in the video, I talked about I had a keychain on my vision board where it said my first home, it said a date, and it had my name. And then I was just looking at my vision board after I created this masterpiece, and I was like, I want to kind of carry something from the vision board around. And I went on Etsy and ordered a little keychain with my name and the date of the house that I wanted by, carried it around.
Wow.
And I guess just having that there, it just constantly was in the back of my mind,
That's
okay,
right.
This is what my dream would be.
Yeah.
But out of all the things, the house, to be the first one to come true was crazy.
What's interesting is our subconscious, right? Just the having that along with you, our subconscious does supposedly 80% of our decision making for us that we don't realize.
Absolutely.
Right? And I was just telling my little cousin that this morning, and it's like, unless you heal and repair and change your environment and change the things that you're taking in on a day-to-day basis, like you talked about in your video, your crime video. Unless you're really being mindful about the things that you're taking in on a daily basis, your subconscious can sabotage you. And I know that you know what that's like.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm curious, diving into your story a little bit, give us kind of a background of who you are, your journey, what you've been on, and what led you up to where you are today.
So I was born and raised here in California to a very strict family. I'm first generation Pakistani. And my mom and dad are very strict Muslims, super strict. I didn't even have American clothes until it was in the army.
Wow.
And then would you consider, it was a uniform. So it wasn't even jeans and a blouse. It was a full-on camo suit. So or they called it the monkey suit when I was in the army. So it was kind of a culture, it was a huge culture shock. So from, being born until I was 18, I was with my family. You know, mom and dad never stayed away a single night from them, then wow. ran off to avoid an arranged marriage to join the army.
Wow.
Insanity.
So, how did your dad feel about that?
Oh, when he found out?
That you were running off to go join the army?
Oh, gosh, that was a whole situation in itself. Like, the recruiter showed up to my house, because at the time I had a couple of academic scholarships, and my dad's like, that's great, but you're going to go to Pakistan, and, you know, your husband's going to decide whether or not you could go to these schools, and he's going to help you pick. So I was like, hold that thought. So I happened to pick up my girlfriend that same day. I had that conversation with my dad from the recruiter station, and I talked to the recruiter there. And honestly, in the back of my mind, one of my earliest memories was I saw a billboard, is either with the Marines or the Army, where they're like, or it was a commercial, like slaying dragons. I'm like, I want to do that. Do you remember that commercial?
I remember that. It was so good. I feel like that was the Navy.
I think it was Marines.
Maybe it was Marines.
Yeah, they're so cool. They're so cool. Like, I'm not that cool. So I was like, I'll do the Army. And so just talking to the recruiter just felt very natural. It didn't feel pushy. I was like, all right, let's go. Let's sign. So I signed. The recruiter changed her clothes into civilian clothes. For you, non-military. Civilians are just like normal, like, I guess this isn't normal, but like normal clothes, like yeah. civilians, right? For you civilians out there, that's what that means. She came to my house and she told my parents that I had another scholarship to study abroad. And so, of course, my parents were like, oh my gosh, yes, take her. And so I actually was on the way to boot camp in not Europe. To go to boot camp in South Carolina.
So did you basically lie to your parents?
I absolutely lied to my parents. And the recruiter helped me. Ironically,
what?
I ended up being one of like three people out of my graduating class that got Germany as my first duty station.
Wow.
Oh my gosh, that just hit me right now. Totally lied to my parents that I was going to Europe for boarding school.
Wow.
Ended up being one of the only three out of my graduating class to go to Europe.
So how long did it take dad to find out and to
weeks? It's my dad. Like Secret Service has nothing on my dad.
Yeah, exactly.
I avoided calling my dad because I was so homesick, and I'm 100% a daddy's girl. And yes, he was strict. Yes, he was very traditional, but I am to the core a daddy's girl, and I missed him so much. And I was like, never stayed home away from like a single night from my parents. So there I am in boot camp, wearing PTs. Again, for you civilians, that's physical training clothes. And like wearing shorts and crying because I never showed my legs before. And I just like wanted my mom and my dad specifically. So like he knew something was up, and he found out weeks into it, maybe 2 weeks into it.
So what do you think was it about your dad, you and your dad's relationship that created such a tight bond?
So in a culture where, you know, they want boys first, right? I'm the oldest. So, surprise, surprise, I'm a girl. But he was just, I felt like he was different from most culturally Pakistani fathers. Mm. He always supported me. He was so proud of me in school. Like, I was always like a little nerd, and he always supported that. But again, being, an immigrant, I'm helping him read like tax documents at like 7 and 8. And, you know, I was like a little sidekick. So everywhere he would go, I would be right there with him and like, and my dad's a very kind, docile, you know, kind of man. So, like, I lived in California at the time. I'm from Lodi. And at the time, it was it's not as many Pakistanis as there are now than it was back then. So we were, like, one of the only brown families there. And, like, when people would be mean to my dad, I'd be like, you better not talk to my dad like that. You know, so, like, I was really protective of him being my father and, like,
That's neat.
Yeah, and
so
he saw that. Like,
so you were his biggest fan, and he was your
biggest fan. Yeah, absolutely.
That's really neat. That's the bond I'm trying to build with my daughter, and just narrating her, being part of everything, you know, pushing her limits too, to try to, you know, get her to step out of her comfort zone.
Yeah.
And, you know, because she's soft and squishy as a girl, and I'm used to having boys, right? And so it's a whole different world, and it softens you up as a guy to have a little girl, and just changes your whole heart. I mean, just the shift that happens. With a little girl is just something super special. There's nothing like that tenderness that you get with little girls. So that's really neat. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, of course.
So he finds out you joined the military. How did that impact your guys' relationship? Did it make it stronger? Was there a temporary season?
Oh my gosh, he was so pissed. He was so mad. He took me out of his trust. We didn't talk for like a couple days tops. I think we didn't talk for like maybe a week. And then he's like, he apologized, as always. He's like, I'm sorry. And yeah, he's like I said, he's just like such a kind and gentle. He was such a kind and gentle. I'm still getting used to past tense. My dad, as you know, passed away a couple years ago. But yeah, he was very forgiving. That's and great. Then he saw me in Pakistan, actually deployed to Pakistan.
Wow.
From Germany as a translator with the 212 Mobile Army Surgical Hospital. Last MASH standing. I was so proud of that.
Wow.
There was a big giant earthquake in Muzaffarabad, Pakistan, and I went as a linguist translator, and my dad found me in the mountains of Pakistan, as he would.
What?
Yeah, I know. Like, it was insane. I was like, how even?
Like physically tracked you
he
down and
physically found me in the mountains. Mind you, there was a giant earthquake, so half the roads were, like, gone, destroyed. And I get a call from the gate guards. The Pakistani rangers were, like, protecting the gates. And they were like, is Private Dawood there? Her dad's here. I was like, and I believed. Actually, I believed it. I'm like, yeah, that's why we're tracks.
Wow. Father's love right there.
My God, right.
Yeah, there's no distance that could be between Sunny and I to stop me from getting to her if she needed me.
Exactly. Wow. From where he was in Pakistan. I knew my dad was in Pakistan visiting family, and he was about 13 hours away. Drove and found me. Brought me food.
Wow.
Brought me a cell phone so that he could call me. It was like 2007.
Wow.
So he brought me a little brick phone and like food that he knows that I like.
That's so neat.
And then that was the first time my dad actually saw me in something else outside of Pakistani clothes with his name on my chest, because my last name is his name. So that's the first time I saw my dad cry.
Wow. Your dad's name was Dawood?
Dawood, mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Yeah, so he saw Dawood on my chest and he's like, oh, I think it hit him, like, oh, you're in the military.
Wow.
And that was the first time in my entire 19 years of living at that point that I saw my dad cry.
So at what point on that journey was he like, yeah, was he like excited and rooting and like and pumped that you were in the military, or did he have a hard time with it?
I think he was a little bit in shock, because up until then he hadn't seen me other than like when I came home to visit him and I was in traditional clothes, and then he saw me at a base that's in like in a mountain in uniform, and like
he didn't know what was gonna happen.
My gosh, there's like barbed wire, I'm living in a tent, and so I think all of that was kind of like shocking.
I bet.
Yeah, and so he was, I think, was a little bit in shock when he saw me, but I could tell he was very proud. Like, yeah, for sure.
That's neat. So how long was it until you came home and you got to kind of be close with your family and your dad again, like proximity?
When my dad unfortunately passed away is when I came back.
Oh, really?
18 years later.
Wow. So you were gone that whole
time? I've been gone this whole time, yeah.
Wow. And so you were helping him towards the end of his life, right? Because he was dealing with some health issues?
I was helping him. Unfortunately, not in the capacity that I wanted to.
Gotcha.
We had a terrible argument a couple years before he passed away, and it was over something very minor.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew I was right. And my dad can get very stubborn, and he refused to like apologize, and I was super upset. So we kind of had a falling out.
Yeah.
We didn't communicate. We didn't talk. And then he got COVID, actually, in 2020, in the beginning of 2020. Mm. And this man has been through it. He's not been the healthiest. He had a couple heart attacks while I was overseas.
Oh, wow.
But I always knew he was going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
He's pretty resilient. And then when he got COVID, I just knew. And at the time, I was in Jordan. And so I just knew my dad wasn't going to make it. So I came back home, and I tried to go see him. He was in isolation in Lourdes Memorial.
That's right.
You know, with COVID being brand new, everybody like had everything shut down. So like there was no, like I could not talk to him. So unfortunately, I didn't get to take care of him in the capacity that I wanted to.
That's a bummer. Yeah, COVID really put a damper on families being able to be together in like the hardest time of their lives. So that I know there are some lasting effects. And I haven't met anybody in person until you that had that experience. I've seen it and heard it, but I haven't actually met anybody. So sorry you had to go through that.
Yeah, and honestly, that actually leads me into what I do now, the agency, the in-home care agency. When my dad passed away and I came back, it was... the guilt that I felt for not taking care of him and knowing that he was alone, I couldn't deal.
Yeah.
So I was supposed to go back overseas. And just go back to my life, you know, living my life. And seeing, not being able to see my dad, not being able to touch him, not being able to tell him I love him. Mm-hmm. I didn't want that for anybody else.
Yeah.
And I decided to stay home and take care of his trust. I ended up being written back into the trust. In case you guys are wondering. I was written back into the trust, and I helped my stepmom settle his affairs. And in being back home, I just found so much peace.
Yeah.
The same place I was running away from for like the last 18 years, you know? Yeah. And unfortunately, I came back from my dad's death and settling his trust, but this place really healed me. And being back around my family again just brought so much peace to me again.
It's your sisters and all that.
I've seen a couple videos of your sisters. Oh gosh, those girls, man.
Yeah.
They sure know how to humble me.
Yeah. So you said that you were running away from this place. What was it that was keeping you overseas and keeping you away from the States?
I felt that being home in California and being in Lodi and being around my family, that I had brought shame to my family. I had ran away and joined the army. Mm-hmm. And I come from a culture where women, we don't do those things.
Yeah.
You know, women in my culture don't go to school.
They arranged marriages.
There's arranged marriages. We're not taught to be, you know, in the working, working out there in society, like, you know, the normal, I guess normal for Americans.
American housewives,
right, or American culture, right? Mm. So then growing up and being as ambitious as I was, I always felt like I was doing something wrong. I always felt like my family used to be, my brothers weren't good in school, but I was. Mm. And I remember one time I was going through a bunch of stuff that my parents had, and they didn't keep any of my like honor graduate stuff or honor roll stuff and none of my achievements, but all my brothers, they kept all my brothers' perfect attendance.
And like participation trophies.
And participation trophies. But then like all my like honor roll stuff and my achievements and my great grades, my report cards, none of that was there. Even when I got my, when I received my scholarships, none of my family members showed up to my scholarship ceremony. I had an uncle show up, but he was an hour late.
So you kind of felt like a black sheep?
I did. Absolutely.
That's that rebel in you. Have you always been a rebel?
I guess if I'm going to be a rebel, this is the best way to be a rebel. Like, be academically inclined, super ambitious.
Go serve your country.
Go serve my country.
Travel the world.
Right. Yeah. If I'm going to be a rebel of any kind, I guess this is the best way to do it. But I always felt displaced in my own... culture in my own family. And so like every time I would come, I felt like everybody was judging me and you know, oh, she's posting like videos of her traveling all over the world online. She's wearing American clothes. Mm. Oh my gosh, she's like in a bathing suit. Like,
she felt judged.
I felt super judged. And I felt like I let my family down.
Wow. And how do you feel about that now in the present moment?
Oh man, I got so much clout with my family.
There we go. Come on.
I got so much clout with my family. And I think it's because I own it now.
You own it.
I own it. Yeah. Okay. And then when my dad passed away, I made sure everybody was taken care of. I made sure my dad's honors were blessed and all his wishes were fulfilled. I made sure that my stepmom was good. I made sure my family was good. Yeah. So I have this like weird clout with my family that were like, I feel very respected. They love me. I could tell that they love me and they know I'm always going to be there.
That's interesting. So for those that are watching this, young girls that are like super inspired and they're catching this interview, whether you're younger sisters, right?
Yeah.
What advice would you give them if they feel like they're supposed to follow this straight path and go the traditional route, the Pakistani route, right? Or just what their parents are telling them to do when they deep down feel like they're supposed to go their own route and make their own path? What advice would you give them? Because you were able to break free of that and do your own thing and be that rebel that you are, and it worked out pretty well for you, I would say,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. Join the United States Army. No, I'm just joking. No, honestly, I feel like it was a group of fortunate events. How do they say that saying?
A series of fortunate events
That just kind of that accumulated into me joining the army, me being part of that pageant, me running this agency. I just always felt very self-supported. Mm. I tried talking to my family. I tried talking to my dad. But my actions and the way that I showed up did more for me than what I could ever have done asking for permission.
There was that little voice inside you that was telling you that you were made for more than just
exactly.
That.
And I can't tell you one specific thing that I did or one specific action that I took. It was just always doing, making sure that I did the right thing that felt right and was like inwardly
in alignment
to what I wanted to do. Thank you.
I know because I can relate to that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's if you know that you're meant for a bigger purpose, if you know that the path that you're wanting to take and follow is going to bring good to not just you, but the people around you, then by all means, caveat, it's not that boy you think it is. Don't chase after that 16.
Don't chase the boys or the girls. Yep.
And again, I ran away to join the army. I didn't run away for a boy. So that make sure whatever you're doing is for you, yourself, and that's what you want for yourself. And I'm not out here condoning, following other people. Do what you want to do. Do what your desires are.
Your dreams.
And your dreams. And I promise you, if you're 17, 18 watching it, it's not that boy.
Yeah, it's definitely not the boy. Or the girl.
Or the girl.
Yeah, that's true. So this is a really great conversation. Where I'm kind of interested now in going with you on this is the judgment that you felt, right, by all the people in your life, the people that you care about most in the world. What did it take for you to kind of break that off? Was it having consecutive wins over and over again and just having success in your life that made you finally reach this point where you're like, I don't feel judged by them anymore? Like, what was that disconnect where you no longer felt that pressure or that judgment?
My dad's death. So when my dad passed away, this man worked his entire life to make sure we were fine. He was the most generous person I know. He did so much for his community. He built mosques in Pakistan. He donated every year. He made sure the family was good. He took care of my grandma, which is my mom's mom, wow, like his own mother.
Wow.
Until he passed away. And then within a few weeks, it was like, okay, what did we inherit? Not even a few weeks. It was like days after he passed away and the day of his death. It was like everybody was asking for handouts.
Wow.
And seeing what my dad spent his entire life doing and nobody talked about what great that he did.
Yeah.
Or what they... None of his accomplishments were talked about. None of what he did for others was talked about. And so that made me disconnect to what other people thought.
Ooh, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's the moment.
Yeah, it was my dad's death, seeing how everybody reacted. I'm like, oh, wow, this is the in memory of part that everybody talks about.
Disconnecting from what other people's opinions, right? Because they're all opinions at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And that reminds me of, I was on the phone with my friend Sammy almost a year ago now, probably like 8 months ago, 9 months ago. And I'm talking to him like, well, you know, we wanted to partner with you, but I don't know if that was going to work out. And I talked to this person and he doesn't like this about, you know, this thing that you did. And this person doesn't like this about this thing you did. And I just don't think it's going to be a good fit for us. And he's been a mentor of mine since I was like 18 years old.
Oh, wow.
Right. So I'm just telling him like brutally honest. That's just how I am. I'm open book. Like, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, I'm just going to tell him like it is. And so he says to me on the phone, Adrian, why the F do you care about what everybody thinks so much?
Wow.
And I was like, it was like a whack across my face. And I could tell that he was doing it from a place of love, though. Like, and it was like a shot, like, wow. But then I started looking at my life from the relationships that I was in and what people were saying about my relationships to the business partnerships that I had. And I'd be on one path and someone would tell me something about this person and I'd all of a sudden veer off my path. And it was just like a lot of this
zigzagging
throughout my whole life, zigzagging instead of just following my path.
Exactly.
And going inward for the answers that I had.
Exactly.
And that was a huge shift for me. It was like, and this is only 8-9 months ago, right? And being able to disconnect yourself from everybody's opinions should, you know, like a lot of women do this, and even men is like, as soon as a argument would happen with my wife, I'd go to my friend and be like, look at this message that she sent me. Am I the crazy one? And like looking for validation and people's opinions on my situation to justify that I'm right. Right. And that's self-preservation. That doesn't help the situation whatsoever. What was my part in that? Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've stopped doing that. My wife has stopped doing that. And the amount of impact that it's made on a relationship has been huge. And so when you said it right there, you couldn't have said it any better. Disconnect yourself from the opinions of others.
Mm-hmm.
That is a really powerful thing that you can do because it's not their life. Who, and I think he said this too, he's like, He goes, Adrian, and this was like right after that, he goes, who has ever walked your shoes? Who watched their grandfather die at 4 years old? Who grew up in a household where being physically, mentally, and verbally abused? Who freaking was on the streets at 10 and then on the streets at 16? And who had to go through all the things you've gone through, starting your first business and brick and mortar at 18, 19 years old and going to jail and doing all these, like no one's walked your path. So who are they to give opinions or to give recommendations about what you should do with your life? And I was like, oh my gosh.
Wow.
And so that was a huge shift for me. And I'm so glad you brought that up because I think that's going to be a big shift for other people, then breakthrough for other people. They've just let everybody in their life give opinions. And as soon as some trouble happens, they run to their friends, their partners, their wives, their cousins, and whoever it is to look for advice on what to do. The answer is inside of us. We know deep down, right? I believe that God resides inside of us, so the answer is within,
right?
And so with all of that, you've had that breakthrough. You're now an entrepreneur, business owner, doing something that is honoring your father, honoring your veteran career. In fact, like give everybody kind of a background of what it is that you're doing in your business.
So the in-home care agency that I own here in California is non-medical. We started in January, but the licensing process took about a year. So
that's right.
Yeah, from November 2022 until August of 23 is what was the whole licensing process. Got licensed last year, 2023, August, and opened my doors officially January of this year.
Wow.
Yeah, and so it's called Premier Veteran Home Care. We have about 10 caregivers now. By the end of the week, I'll have 14. Yeah, we're ripping and running. Amazing clients. I have been so blessed with the amount of clients just actually coming to us and
like word of mouth.
Word of mouth. Our reputation is on like just spread like wildfire.
Yeah.
So and I have literally the best caregivers like in California. Like the other agencies can come fight me about it. I'm ready.
That's right. Like, say that to an Army veteran. She'll do it.
So I just have the best caregivers. I have such an amazing team. The clients have been phenomenal. Some haven't been so great, but that's been
ups and downs of business. You've had some challenges along the way.
I had some caregiver challenges as well.
That's right.
And it's been go time since January.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you started the business, and I know you had said something when we were talking that I thought was really inspiring. It was one of the most inspiring things you said to me. Was when you started or a few years ago is what the timeline is. I don't want to mess up the timeline here, but you were in debt, and now you're in the opposite of that situation.
Oh, my gosh.
So give a little background on that.
Yeah. Not even that long ago. I want to say this time last year or maybe 15, 18 months ago, I was in $33,000 debt.
Wow.
Living with a family member, renting a tiny little dungeon of a room and just miserable, miserable. And I was just reading all the books I could find. I was consuming all the podcasts. I was watching all the YouTube channels. And you know I'm obsessed with the Harmozis, right?
I was going to bring it up.
I am obsessed with the Harmozis. I love Dr. Huberman.
He's awesome. Yep.
And so, like, I had the great fortune of finding these types of people because I realized the content that I was listening to needed to go. So it was like murder shows, murder podcasts, murder, like, makeup, YouTube tutorials. And no wonder I was miserable.
Murder. I was thinking about like an SNL skit where she's like, murder. I was watching that the other day.
All the things.
That being in surrounding yourself and putting that stuff into your mind, that's not a healthy way to go.
My God. I felt like it all accumulated into this giant eruption of like, oh my gosh, okay, I need to, like, all this where it's giving me anxiety. And the first thing I'm doing is waking up, rolling over, picking up my phone, and I'm going through seeing my Instagram is full of this crime happened today, or like, oh, I just dropped my podcast and it's about the disappearance of blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Do I need to be reading that at 6 a.m.? No, but that's what I was doing. Hit play on the podcast and I'm getting ready with my makeup. And so, and then at the same time, I just so happened to run into like Alex and Layla. I found Layla first. So I started listening to Layla, and she talks a lot about her anxiety and how she feels. And like a lot of her content resonated with me so deeply because in spite of how she was feeling, she still went and did the thing that she needed to do, still feeling like shit. And so I'm like, oh, I didn't know that was possible.
Yeah.
I thought I had to wake up and meditate. I had to go like ground my bare feet on the ground. I thought I had to feel good in order to be
successful.
Yeah. And she's like, no, fuck that. Like, go do the thing. Had to, you know, interview these caregivers or tell your manager he sucks. Like,
yeah, exactly.
And she's just so to the point that I was like, I love this girl. And so,
luckily, authentic, right?
Very vulnerable. Mm-hmm. She's very vulnerable. She's very honest. She's very authentic. And so yep. she, luckily for me, knocked some sense into me. And so I was like, I need to get rid of this trash. Like all this like
smart
stuff that is, I'm watching Netflix series on the same thing, Dahmer. Okay, I love Dahmer. Okay, that was a yeah. good show.
And hey, in your defense, the show Mindhunters,
love it.
One of the best shows ever.
Don't even tell me if the fourth season ever.
I know. Yeah, I'm gonna have to hold myself from watching that one because it's so good.
Yeah.
So I can understand. I can relate to it because
it sucks you in.
It sucks you in for sure, and that's the intention of it, right? That's the goal, is to keep you hooked. So now you have a whole new, you know, type of content that's flowing to you, and now this content's been flowing to you for such a long period of time. Now you're pouring out your own content. So kind of catch us up as far as what your vision is and where you're going with your business and you as an individual, as an entrepreneur and an influencer.
Well, so I feel like right now where I'm at in my time of life, I wish I had this version of me a couple years ago, like when my dad, you know, was going through what he was going through. And that's the business part of it, where I want to be that comfort for the families. So the business part of me is what I wish my dad had when he was passing away, and that's what I'm cultivating, that's what I'm creating as my business part for the families that are going through the same thing with parents that are memory care, or they just need additional help in the house, or they don't want to be in the skilled nursing facilities. A lot of people are starting to just want to be home. That's so right. The business part of it is something, the quality and the caliber that I have with my company is what I wish I had for my father. And so I'm posting a lot of stuff on my Instagram and Premier Veteran Home Care about just tips and things that I've learned along the way, caring for elderly parents, caring for elderly loved ones. And then the personal part of it, like the Maryam Dawood Khan branding of it, is I like to think of myself as a big sister. I've always attracted younger women to me. I've always been the type of friend that will listen to your hopes and dreams, and then I'm like, all right, let's go do it.
That's right.
You know?
That's
so right. If don't come to me if you just want to talk about it. We're going to be about it.
That's right. We're going to take action.
We're going to absolutely take action.
Yep.
And so I've always been that in that realm of friendship. I've been just that character in people's lives. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to Chris this morning, and you know, he asked me what my dealio was.
Yep.
And so I told him, like, you know, I've always ran away from the attention that I would get online. Like, I remember a few years ago, my Instagram was like 6,000 to 7,000 followers, and I just got overwhelmed. And we talked about this too. Yeah. I just got overwhelmed and I deleted a bunch of followers. Then it happened again where I got a ton of followers and I got overwhelmed and I deleted a bunch of followers. So I was like, you know, I need to stop running from it. Like, if the universe wants me to be an influencer so bad, I'll do it. And I made the joke to Chris this morning, I want to be an influencer for good. Like, I want to influence for good.
Social impact.
Social impact, 100%. And mm-hmm. so with my personal content, it's a lot of lessons that I wish I had heard others learn. I wish that I had somebody that I could follow that made light of huge, like, there's times in my life where I didn't think I was going to make it out. And now they're, like, funny to me. And like, I like sharing that stuff a lot.
That's great.
I get to have a time with my family now. So, like, you know, talking about my sisters on social media and
that's
like
right.
bonding with them and creating these memories that I didn't get to have with my younger family because you know, I grew up in a time where we didn't have social media like we do now.
That's true.
And just having this treasure trove of videos and content that, you know, when I have kids I have a family that they can go back and look, I would pay. It is priceless. Somebody asked, I can't remember what it was. What would you pay to see your great-grandfather talk?
Oh, yeah. That's a big one.
I would spend.
Probably Hormozy. Alex, probably.
Yeah.
That sounds like something he would say.
Or something Bette David?
Well, Patrick Bette David.
Patrick Bette David.
That's right.
He made I was watching one of his. Oh, my gosh. What I used to consume and what I consume now is like 180.
Yeah, for sure.
So Patrick Bette David.
Yep.
Who I also love listening to, he said, what would you pay to have like 2-3 hours of content of your great-grandfather, of your family member? And I would give my house for like even an hour of my dad's time.
It's true.
And so I would love to have that be part of my ambition and my goal and what I want to put out. And I genuinely want to put good in the world. I want to put goodwill out there. I feel like there's not much influencers out there that want to do good for the sake of doing good.
They want to make money and drive the cars and have the houses and
put the programs on the show and buy my ebook. And again, hey, more power to you. I get it. Yeah. But that's not where I'm coming from. I'm not doing this for money. I'm not doing this for I love free things. If you want to sponsor me,
that's great.
But that's not my drive. Yeah. I genuinely want to do good. I want to put out good. I want others to know that it is possible to be kind in this world.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So two last questions. First one, we're sitting here in a year from now doing another episode. Was putting it out there right now in the universe on my vision board. And where is Miriam in 1 year from now?
Oh, wow. There's no light stepping with you in this podcast, huh? We're going deep.
That's right.
In a year's time from now, April 23rd, 2025?
Yeah, so we're 4/24/24 today.
Oh, wow.
So 4/24/25.
My gosh. I would say that I would love to be the top tier agency in California, business-wise, and that's for our reputation.
Yeah.
Having the staff that is like sought after would be amazing, because I have one of the most compassionate, loving, patient team, like employees I've ever had the pleasure of working with.
Yeah.
And I've ran a couple businesses in the past, and this has been the hardest, but also been the most fulfilling.
For sure.
So I would love to be like the top tier agency for home care. My content, I want to be known for being the influencer of good.
I love that.
And goodwill and being kind and being funny and being sweet and like coming from a angle of trying to just be good and put good out in the world and volunteering your time, doing charities and maybe having people sign on to the charities like Lasagna Love. I love Lasagna Love.
That's right.
So maybe being a spokesperson of a goodwill ambassador. I would love that. That would be so cool.
I think it's time for a new vision board.
You're right. I didn't even think of a year.
Now that you have a YouTube channel and you're doing all this, you're making these investments into yourself, I think that'd be a great time.
Yeah.
So the last question, and it's for you to challenge, is what do you want to challenge everybody that's listening and watching? What do you want to challenge them to do as a random act of kindness, as a love gangster, to kill them with kindness? What is your challenge for them?
Kill them with kindness. One of my favorite things to do is post to my Instagram story, and there's a little dialogue box. I think ask a question is the little sticker that you can use. So in that little sticker dialogue box, I always put, what favor can I do for you today? And that's one of my favorite ways to just do like a quick hit of kindness.
Yeah.
And I've gotten so many cool ones. One of my friends messaged me that she was having a rough day and that all she wanted was like a cup of tea or a cup of coffee or something. So I sent her a Starbucks like $10 gift card. One of my old soldiers, actually from the army, like from like 15 years ago, he asked me for a letter of recommendation, typed it up for him. Just like little small easy acts of kindness. Yeah.
So that's the challenge. Create a post on your social media, and if you're not on social media, send it out in a text message or in a group text or something. Find a way, maybe an email. Everybody's got email, and ask what favor you can do for them today.
A pigeon with a note?
There you go. Yeah, a carrier pigeon. Mike Tyson would like that. Very cool. I think that's a great challenge. It's a great way to end this episode. Is there any thoughts and anything you want to share before we close it out?
Just be kind. Honestly, kindness will just do so much for you personally and open so many doors.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like people who are good or who are kind or pick the kind route just have it easier. Like, for example, I got cut, if you get cut off driving today, there's two different ways that you could take it, right? You can take the kind approach or you could take the aggressive approach.
Sorry.
You can assume that this person's being...
it already heard you, so
you can assume this person's being rude or mean or just cuts you off because they're in their own, they're just being an asshole.
Yeah.
Or you can assume the kind thing and, you know, think that they're rushing home to a child or,
right.
you know, they're probably just didn't even realize they cut you off. And both things can be true. He, right. you know, they could have just been being rude and cut you off, or the kind could be true. Either can equally be true.
That's right.
Picking the one that's the kinder option will just make it easier on everybody that's involved.
Because it's not about them, it's about you,
exactly.
right? And giving away your power by road raging and getting pissed and letting it steal your joy from you is something that we have control over. So I think that's a really, really powerful way to close this out. Mm-hmm. And I'm so grateful that you came here to do this with me.
Yeah.
I was excited about this episode and I knew it was going to be really good. And
so fire.
Sure enough, you delivered.
Thank you.
Like always.
I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Yes, of course. Yeah. Well, we'll do this again. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I want to give a shout out to Video Marketing Vault, the studio that we're in here that's helping me do all these videos, put all this stuff together, and all the work we've put into building this brand. So if you need help with your YouTube channel or if you need help with your content in general, check out videomarketingvault.com. And we'll see you guys on the next episode. I'm Adrian Boysell, and as always, keep looking up. Fill the void. I am love. I am peace. I am joy that can never be destroyed. I am love. I am peace. I am joy. We came here to fill the void. I am love. I am peace. I am joy that can never be destroyed. I am love. I am peace. Peace. Yeah. I want to see more joy, love, peace, and unity. I